We Talk Podcast presents...
Welcome to the Stick Boy Podcast, One Follows Back, talking Bret Hart, Daniel Bryan, and Kevin Owens. Check it out.
What it is, what it do, welcome to Stick Boy and the One Fall Podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot. With the one, the only, the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How's it going?
Sad, Joel. Somber. Defeated. We come and start this podcast with great sorrow to say that our city, Calgary, Alberta, where we record this, our city's own, Bret the Hitman Hart, has prostate cancer. And I believe today, as we record this, he had surgery.
Yeah, he was having surgery right away, and from what I've heard from people that are close with Bret, because, you know, YYC, we're kind of all a little connected, it sounds like he's in good spirits, it sounds like he's surrounded by a lot of positivity and love, but yeah, when you grow up with these wrestlers, and you think they're invincible, they're bulletproof, they are larger than life, like when Randy Savage died. It's like, what? No, that's Macho Man. No. And now hearing Bret has cancer, it's kind of like, whoa. It catches you off guard.
Here's the positive thing out of this, is prostate cancer is one of the more curable ones. It's, you know, having talked to a few people, a lot of people obviously understand the seriousness of it. It's cancer, but the more people I've talked to, and with my brother-in-law being a doctor as well, a lot of people aren't as concerned about it, because prostate cancer is definitely one of the easier ones to cure.
Yeah. From what I've heard and understand, it's when it starts to spread to the spine.
Yes.
When things get bad.
Yeah, so he kind of caught it at the right time.
Yeah, because if this had spread, then...
Yeah, because the tumor grows up to there, right?
Yeah, then it would not be good. I think it's a good thing that they caught it early. I think he's going to get... the proper help and care, the surgery. It definitely sucks, and definitely kind of, like, you and me have been talking a little bit about how he's kind of grumpy Bret.
Yeah.
And now you kind of, that kind of is like, goes away a little bit, where you're kind of ripping on him.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like that, oh crap, this is Bret Hart. Like, say what you will.
I gotta say, are you surprised about the overall North American, at least, input that this story got?
Yeah.
And just the love and support? Like, you and I have always talked about, like, you know, we're from Calgary, we always kind of debated who's the biggest celebrity, and the other one that really comes to mind, it's an Alicia Cuthbert.
Yeah.
I think the Bret won, because this was big. ESPN covered this.
Yeah, ESPN covered it. At Madison Square Garden had a Get Well Bret sign.
Wow.
Madison Square Garden doesn't do that for just anybody.
No.
So for that to pop up, and just the outpouring support on social media, and just how much Bret meant to people and means to people, even to this very day, years after him retiring, he still means a lot. And you kind of get wrapped up in the negativity of, oh, he's grumpy, he's unhappy. And then you kind of look back and you go, holy crap, this guy really got me into wrestling. So
yeah,
a little bit of a culture shock.
One of the first matches that ever, like, you know, I grew up, and I'm going to say a lot older than you, but I'm older than usual.
Yeah.
And, you know, I obviously, you know, kind of saw things here and there. I saw Hogan and Slaughter and saw those kind of things. But the first match that really made me fall in love with wrestling, and then kind of continue this love of wrestling into my 30s, was Owen Hart versus Bret Hart in that steel cage.
Yep.
That's the match that did it for me.
Five-star Dave Meltzer match.
Yeah, that was the one. I was like, wow, these are two guys from Calgary, and they're fighting. This is so awesome. And
for
it was
the big title.
For the big title, and then Owen getting King of the Ring was unforgettable, and it's... watching that and just watching Bret and knowing, I mean, it's a deeper impact as we record this from Calgary, because this is our guy. This is our city's champion. This is the guy. And I will say, and I'll let you go too, is, you know, there's been a lot of talk about John Scott being the Marshall, the Calgary Stampede. I think that's just damn ridiculous. And the John Scott thing needs to settle down. When Brett defeats this thing, he needs to be in front and center of that, being the Grand Marshal.
Oh, he will be there, and you be guaranteed when they have the Cancer Awareness Month in WWE, he's going to be there. Mm-hmm. You want to kind of live more on the side of he's going to beat this. He's been through a lot. The stroke, the concussion, Montreal screw job, losing his brother, losing family left and right, just being stuck in crappy situations where family didn't get along. Oh, the death of Owen was a huge blow.
TJ.
Yeah.
Almost went TJ almost become paralyzed.
Is it just me, or does it feel like sometimes the Hart family's got a little...
They're the Kennedys of wrestling, because, Joel, did you know that Smith Hart also has cancer?
Yep.
Yeah, so, and I believe it's prostate cancer as well.
Jeez.
So, he got it about 2 weeks ago, Smith did.
Yeah.
And now Brett does. No, nothing against Smith, you know, he's a human being, it's just Brett has more of the national headlines.
Yeah. I kind of sit there. They are the Kennedy of pro. That's perfectly put. They are.
The Von Erichs as well. You know, let's not discount the Von Erichs and their tragedy. Yeah. Both have equal shitty things happen to them.
Yeah, it's not good. It just kind of sucks that it's like that. It's like, yeah. But like, I feel like, you know, I think. I feel very good. I think I will see Bret Hart again on a WWE TV, and it makes you kind of appreciate the little things, like when Bret first came back.
Yeah, I mean, you know what's crazy about this too is, so last year we lost Roddy Piper and we lost Dusty, and the entire time I was like, oh, I just wish I could see them one more time and appreciate it. And you and I have been saying we've been doing this with Flair quite a bit, and with a guy like Jake, if you ever see Jake, right?
Yeah.
I next time I see Bret in any appearance, I'll just be so grateful. I mean, the last house show we went to, was like, oh, Brett comes out, that's cool. But, you know, I don't know if we're going to this house show in Calgary. Tickets are a little ridiculous, the cards, whatever. But, you know, if I ever see Brett come out again, I'm just going to appreciate it so much more. Someone that's met him and gotten his autograph and being able to talk to him. He is a nice guy in person. Some of the interviews, he can be a little crabby. But I just, you know, like you said, the next time you see him on television, you want to be like, that's Bret Hart. That's awesome.
Yeah, because, and it kind of makes you kind of go like, Holy crap. That's, yeah, no, especially now with this cancer thing. And cancer's been a real asshole the last little bit. So it's definitely now like, no. We got to keep them going.
I mean, how devastating would it have been to have just woken up that Monday and just find out that he was gone? In a way, I was like... You know, we're just so used to wrestling, just them being gone like that, Joel.
Yeah.
That part of me was just like, oh, he has cancer. Okay, good. And it's so weird because you're just like, he just has cancer. He hasn't died yet.
Yeah.
So you have like some relief to be like, okay, he can fight it and I can appreciate him a lot more now. I don't have to write up another thing about a wrestler being dead.
Yeah, that would be such a big blow.
Yeah.
He would be one of the first major ones from that new generation of him and Michaels and Razor and Diesel, that kind of era, and Luger. He'd be the first real big blow from that era, wouldn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, holy crap. And Hulk Hogan's still alive.
He is, brother.
Still going strong.
To say Vern Gagne, he was another legend we lost last year, too, that we really didn't get to talk about. But even a guy like Mean Gene, still going. Pat Patterson just had his birthday.
Yeah. And it's like, it's weird. You just don't know who's... You don't know who's going to check in and who's going to check out.
Well, another person that was having a little bit of a hard time was Bray and Bo's granddaddy.
Yeah.
Blackjack Mulligan.
It just seems like wrestling at times can either be very quiet and nothing dark and gloomy happens, or it's dark and gloomy.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's just kind of like, ugh. And I totally get it. It makes sense for Bray and Bo not to be there. They shouldn't be at Raw.
No, I mean, some people would argue that it kind of messed up because apparently, I want to get back to Brett too, but with Bray not being there, he was supposed to have some interaction with Brock. So Brock was there and really had nothing to do, so they kind of makeshift the Ambrose thing. That's why, and we'll get to it, it felt like there was really nothing for Brock to do.
Yeah.
He was supposed to have something with Bray. With Bray not being there, it was harder. With Bo, it was easy. It's like, oh, Bo's in the studio.
Yeah.
So it was an easy fix with Bo. With Bray, when you're trying to get this major WrestleMania storyline, wasn't as easy, but by no means would I want him to not be there when his grandfather's in peril. And he's such a big part of the WWE family as well.
Yeah. Blackjack Mulligan?
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. But so
back to Brett. It's definitely that news that kind of kicks you in the gut, kind of catches you off guard, and it's kind of like, geez. But from everything I've heard, he's in good spirits. Family's around him left and right.
Yeah.
So wish the Hitman all the best.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to fight this. I know, and I don't think I know he's going to fight this. I know he's going to come out strong. It didn't spread. I think he's going to come on the other side. Even better for it. I mean, you know, you look at his tag team partner, Jim Anvil. You know, he had some substance abuse problems, and he was able to come through that as well. So, you know, not the same as fighting cancer. I'm just saying he's had a tough battle, so he can be there for Brett as well.
Yeah. And, you know, and you'd be guaranteed he's got the best doctors in the world.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, is he getting the surgery in Calgary?
I don't know. I would assume he's not.
Because I wonder if there's maybe better doctors in the States or in Toronto or something.
I'm willing to bet money he is somewhere else.
Mm.
But no knock against Calgary doctors, but the
nothing against them. But if I'm gonna fight a cancer or get an ankle injury or something done, I want to get that finished and taken care of. Not an ankle injury, an ACL tear or an Achilles tear, you know.
Yeah. Nothing when it just says in a couple days he'll be having his surgery. It doesn't say where or when.
But we wish him the best.
Oh yeah.
And if he's if he is the Grand Marshal of the Stampede here, I will make sure to be front and center the cheer him on.
Oh yeah.
So let's move away from this sad story. I want to get one thing out of the way, Joel, because it's been everywhere this week, so let's do the daily Daniel Bryan talk with what's happening next week, and let's get it out of the way so we can move on.
Oh,
shall we?
Yeah, because I got an update on that.
Because he's going to be in Seattle next week, and everyone's speculating, so tell me what we have.
So from what I've heard is Daniel Bryan's actually hurt his chances of coming back to wrestle.
Yeah.
Because he's refused to do a lot of these pop-up things. The feeling is if he just did what Vince asked him to do and just kept doing what Vince asked him to do, eventually Vince would be like, look at my brilliant idea, Daniel Bryan. But now with Daniel Bryan being so resistant and everything that's gone on in the last three months, you'd say this saga's been going on, they feel like he's really hurt his chance.
I mean, it's crazy, though. You listen to all these shows like Meltzer Show or The Law, and all anyone asks is, where's Daniel Bryan? And it's crazy that they're just going to hold a grudge against a guy that is clearly healthy. And yeah, because I'm sorry, I don't care what the WWE doctor says. It is his final call. We both agreed on that. But there's over three doctors now that this guy's healthy to go. And you're just hurting yourself when you have a property with all these injured guys, with no Randy Orton, no John Cena, no Sheamus, no Seth Rollins. And here's Daniel Bryan waiting to go. Sells merchandise.
And
sells out arenas. And you're just leaving him there.
And it's funny you bring up the merchandise, because I think this ties into it in a way. It's not directly. But there are reports that John Cena's merchandise sales has taken a dip.
Mm-hmm.
And the feeling is because the kids are getting older and he's not quite connecting with the younger kids again.
Yeah, you know who is.
But he's actually not.
Who, Roman?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Listen to like Bill Simmons' kid on his podcast, and he was saying that he went to a recent show and that all the 10-year-olds, all they wanted was the Roman stuff.
From what I've heard for sales numbers, this is like concrete figures. This isn't someone looking around, but from what I've heard, Roman doesn't even come close. He's like a fart in a hurricane compared to Cena sales for merchandise.
Stuff. Yeah, no, I'm saying that, but I'm saying the Roman ones are coming up.
Yeah. They said that the biggest fear within the company right now is if their newly appointed guy doesn't go gangbusters at WrestleMania, they're going to be very concerned because the guy that they've been grooming isn't making... Because that's ultimately what it comes down to, merchandise sales. And that's why Cena hasn't turned. I think now this kind of opens up Cena to be a little bit more...
heelish, hopefully.
Yeah. I went back and I watched Hulk Hogan versus The Rock at WrestleMania. And just how much that kickstarted his career again for Hogan.
Yeah.
How important that moment was, but how important the NWO was to get him going in the first place.
Yeah.
That we talk about, well, Cena's career is coming to an end.
Well, also remember, Cena hasn't really been around since October.
Yeah.
So he really hasn't had the chance to show off. The last year was that 15-time champion one.
Yeah.
That he debuted just before SummerSlam. And normally right now is when he debuts the next shirt. So he hasn't been able to do that yet.
And that probably hurts it as well. I've heard that they've got a ton of John Cena overstock. Like, they are overstocked, and that's why they're doing it.
But that is set out of mind, too, right? Like, yeah. If they don't see him, they're not going to think to buy a shirt. They're going to be like, oh, well, I'll get an Ambrose shirt, or I'll get this shirt, or this shirt, because Cena's not there. Like, when you're at the show, it's kind of, you know, a WWE merchandise is kind of like the jersey or the sweater. You root for your team there. You go to a Seahawks game or a Broncos game, or if you go to the Super Bowl, let's say, you're like, well, the Panthers and the Broncos are playing. Unless you're going to be a stubborn fan, like you're a Cardinals fan or whatever, and you're like, I'm just wearing my Cardinals jersey. Most people are like, I'm going to wear a Broncos or a Carolina jersey if I'm going to wear a jersey here. And it's kind of the same with WWE. It's like, well, Cena's not here, so I guess I'll buy this Ambrose shirt or this AJ shirt or this Roman shirt.
But from all indications I've heard, Roman has not done the numbers that they'd hoped.
Which is weird, because didn't we have a report that I laughed at a while ago and said Roman was killing it in merchandise?
Yeah, it's very wish-washy with WWE on these merch numbers. Like, they seem to like to fluctuate. So I really wonder if one of them is clearly false and one of them is true.
Yeah, because I like I said, I've seen people in public with Kevin Owens shirts, with Finn Balor shirts, and a lot of Dean Ambrose shirts.
But Roman just doesn't pop up as much.
But I have seen a few, hearing the kid stuff, and I don't know. I can't underestimate this kid stuff that Roman has right now. Nope. He's getting over with the kids. He's taking the Cena people and the little kids, and they're going for Roman.
Yep.
So we can't underestimate that, and I will say that every single podcast, just so we don't seem like internet schmarks, the kids love them, and I can't deny that.
No, and you're absolutely right. Kids are a huge part of what they're marketing towards is the little kids, because what's your fondest memories of pro wrestling when you were younger?
Hogan.
Yeah.
So, Hogan and Macho Man. And I never liked Warrior, though. I've always told you that. I never was a huge fan of Warrior. Rest in peace, God bless him. But it was always, for a bit, it was almost a little bit more Hogan, because he was big and brash and colorful, and same with Randy, right?
Yeah.
And like, when you get older, then you're like, oh yeah, Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels are really good. And Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, Chris Jericho, they're really good. But you have to become wrestling. Like, when you started, you probably was one of the bigger guys at first too, right?
It was Stone Cold.
Yeah, well, I guess you kind of came right into Stone Cold. I guess during the Attitude Era, there really was they never really pushed the big, brooding, you can say Triple H, but you know, like, the towering giant wasn't really pushed during the Attitude Era.
No.
Unless, like, Kane and Taker, but they're very athletic giants to me. They're not, like, a giant Gonzalez type of guy.
No. I really got lucky. I got, like, the Stone Cold, and I got Bret matches.
Yeah.
Because he was in WCW at that time, so I got a little bit of everything. And Jericho, like guys like that. So the Daniel Bryan situation is going to be constant until he's either fired, or they just come out and say Daniel Bryan will never wrestle in WWE ring, and he's going to sit here and wait for his contract to expire. So
Here's a question for you. So they have their stockholders meetings. If you're a stockholder, don't you just ask, plain and outright, what are you doing with Daniel Bryan? Because does that not depend on some stake of the company of what Daniel Bryan does?
I think, like, is it wrong to think, would Roman be where he is if Daniel
no,
Bryan was
no, there? No, 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 no chance. No chance.
So, like, we always hear those conspiracy theories online. Do you think there's any weight to those?
No, I don't. I think that I actually do believe that there's some weight that they take this concussion stuff very seriously. Look how long Dolph was off for.
Yeah.
Look how long Fandango was gone for. Fandango, I don't like that some of these concussions hurt people, though.
Yeah.
The concussions should be something that they're being careful with, but don't discipline someone because of that. Fandango lost his Intercontinental title shot because of it.
Yeah.
Like, he was going to be the IC champion, and then after that, the Fandango push was done because he got a concussion. Dolph lost the World Heavyweight Championship because he got a concussion. Daniel Bryan may never wrestle again because he had a concussion. CM Punk quit because of the way they treated concussions.
Yeah.
So, like, there's obviously some type of a problem with how they deal with concussions. You know, you and I have had this talk about how the NFL does it, and that's a whole different conversation. But, like, they don't seem like the way they handle concussions is very scary of how they handle it, because it seems like, you know, there used to be that old mentality was like, get back out there, kid.
Suck it up.
And now they kind of begrudging, like, well, I guess you got to go on the sidelines.
Yeah, it's... They're still in their ways of that old mentality of, like, you look at WWE Breaking Ground, how one of the guys had a concussion and was a big deal, and how he was nervous about his spot.
Yeah.
And that just, to me, seems kind of backwards.
Yeah. Like I said, like, it's for Fandango, right? Like, Fandango was kind of having that Daniel Bryan kind of moment at that WrestleMania, yeah. The post-WrestleMania, when people were like, da-da. Da 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 da. Fandango was big. I remember when he came to Calgary. It was just before he started going for the IC title. Like, he was just building up to that program, and it's like, oh wow, Fandango is over.
Yeah.
But then he got the concussion. He was out for 3 months, and they said, "Screw it, we're done with you." And same with Dolph. Like,
yeah.
Remember that pop, Joel?
Oh yeah.
Remember that crazy pop? And then he was out. He couldn't really defend the world title, and like that, it was done.
You never really got to see him run.
No.
That's why I don't think when I look at Dolph Ziggler, I never look at him as a world heavyweight champion.
No, and I guess
Miz is a former world heavyweight champion.
Yeah, because Miz held it. You know, this is something that means a lot of how they do the title, because we can think what's into Raw here now, because I think we got everything of Bryan out there.
Yeah.
As you go into Raw, hey Joel, didn't Roman Reigns seem really beat up about losing the world heavyweight title the past 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. He didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
He laughed when JoJo came to him, and then he laughed at Stephanie's face like he's going to get the title back. He did not seem distraught at all.
Like when Stone Cold lost the title, he was clawing and scratching. He was even hungrier. That character was hungrier. He wanted it.
Yep.
But Roman's just like, oh, whatever, I'll get it back.
Yeah, like CM Punk did such a good job of bringing that title back. And Seth did a pretty good job too, you know, say what you want to say about Seth losing his champion. Keeping it as long as he did helps a little bit.
Yeah, Brock.
Brock, obviously, too. Like, we were worried about what Brock did. But now, they put a little bit of hot potato and look at, like, I forgot who the Intercontinental Champion was the other day.
Yeah.
Because Dean Ambrose has done absolutely jack shit with it. He's been useless. I remember Kevin Owens' reign much more than Ambrose, because when Kevin Owens had it, you even look at that promo that he had with Todd Phillips. He knew what the belt means, and I'm not saying Dean Ambrose doesn't.
Yeah.
But is Dean Ambrose going to go the extra mile to respect the wrestling history the way that Kevin Owens does?
Yeah.
And to really know that he has to put the belt over. That's something that CM Punk did, and that's why everyone compares Owens to Punk. That's something that Cena did with the U.S. title. He knew, he was like, this is my belt, and I'm going to make it my World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah.
Sometimes some guys just get the belt and like, yeah, I have the belt.
It feels like it's a prop with Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, like, Kalisto's doing a decent job, I'd say.
Yeah. I will say this. I did like Dean Ambrose's promo with Brock Lesnar.
Oh, 100%. Ambrose has been great, but at the same time, that's two times in a row now that Brock has been punked out.
Yeah.
Like, why is Brock not destroying everybody? Why did he not destroy the Wyatts in the Rumble? And why did he not just destroy Dean right there? It makes is so out of character. This is a guy, when the head of the WWE, Triple H, talked to him 3 years ago, he broke his arm. Shawn Michaels came to talk to him, broke his arm. CM Punk talked to him, broke his arm.
I don't remember him. Oh, yeah, there was that. That was, yeah.
He SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I look at it as, I think the biggest thing with Brock is he's kind of that coiled snake in a way.
They made him a babyface now, and I just don't know if he works as much as a babyface.
See, and it's hard to be a babyface when you're dealing with Dean Ambrose.
Mm-hmm.
Because, let's be honest, if we're going to talk about who the Marty Jannetty is, which Marty Jannetty had a colorful comment.
Yeah, I heard about that, but I never heard what it was. What did he say?
So Marty Jannetty, just kind of get sidetracked again, basically went on Twitter and said, "Hey, Stephanie, yeah, you keep bringing my name up, but those kids aren't all Hunters, are they?"
Hmm?
And it was kind of like, go sit in a corner, Marty.
I don't understand what he's saying.
It's basically saying that the kids that Stephanie and Hunter have,
yeah,
aren't Hunter. Hunter's not the parent. Hunter's not the father of some of the kids.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, and it's kind of like,
well, who could they be? Yeah, I'm gonna leave it at that.
Could you imagine?
The timeline doesn't fit.
No, the timeline doesn't fit at all. But
I think Marty needs to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it's just not.
I don't like to drop F bombs on here very much, but I think he needs to shut up.
Yeah,
it's not. I don't believe that for a second.
No,
I think they're all Paul Levesque.
Yeah, and I think it's just something like your name gets dropped, and it's not. It's kind of negative, but...
You know, and here's the thing with Marty. Like, he can still be used every once in a while.
Yeah.
I understand it must be very frustrating.
Being.
But here's a guy that, for the most part, for a while, was understood. He messed up. Like, they gave Marty Jannetty two chances, Joel, to face Shawn Michaels at a WrestleMania. He was supposed to face him WrestleMania 9, but just, like, a month before, he screwed up. He had a match with him at the Royal Rumble. Messed up finish, and he messed that up. And the prior WrestleMania, he was supposed to face him, messed up, got fired again. Vince gave him chance after chance after chance. So, like, it's not like Marty Jannetty was a bad wrestler. He was great. He could have been great. The only person that needs to blame Marty Jannetty is Marty Jannetty.
Yep. Yeah, you can't pass the buck around.
No, and maybe Marty Jannetty's mad because... When you think Shawn Michaels, who do you think is his partner?
Triple H.
Yeah, I think of Triple H. It takes me a while to think of Marty Jannetty. It's Triple H for me.
That's the other thing, is he's kind of irrelevant these days.
He is. He was an Intercontinental Champion. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
He was an Intercontinental. He beat Shawn for the belt on a Raw. He had a tag team with Al Snow at one point.
Jeez.
I think he won the tag team titles as the New Rockers with Al Snow, I believe.
The more you know.
Yeah, so, you know, Jannetty needs to shut up.
Yeah. Back to... I enjoy the tease now with back to Raw. I enjoy the tease of one of them's going to turn on each other.
Yeah, I mean, there has been some talk about maybe... It makes no sense with the way they've done the story, but maybe deviating because they are a little worried about Roman and just doing the fun that you and I have been wanting. Dean and Roman at WrestleMania. And then just going back and just saying, screw it, just do Brock and Hunter. I don't know what they do with the Wyatts, but that was an idea.
It's not terribly bad. Like, what I would want, and we can pause the Raw train, because Raw was really meh.
There's one thing I'm very angry about, and I think you were too, but we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah. If I was fantasy booking, just... For a good laugh, what I would do is I'd have Dean win, pin Roman.
He's going to go to Fastlane match. Okay.
Yeah, and then have Dean head into WrestleMania, and then Dean looks like he's about to win the title. The crowd's going to be on Dean's side. Hunter's going to get booed.
Of course, because Dean is the natural babyface, unlike Roman is. He won't get split. Everybody, kids, and the Smarks will go for Dean.
Oh yeah, And just as Dean hits that dirty deeds, then out comes Superman punch, the ultimate turn. Roman stabs Dean in the back, and Roman, to solidify the turn, puts Hunter's arm over
Dean. Does he join the Authority?
Yeah.
Or is he just, okay.
Joins the Authority, and he's mad because that's supposed to be his moment, and for the second year in a row, it's been taken from him, and he wasn't going to let Dean have it.
But who does he face then?
Oh, and that's this is the tricky thing now, is you now have Roman at a place where Roman... If I was to do it to add further motivation for Roman, I'd put him in the Andre the Giant Battle Royale.
Just but you know that there's no chance of doing that.
I know, but just from a character standpoint, he's just hit rock bottom. He's gone from the highs of the highs to the lowest of the lows, and he just got sick of that and decided to kind of sell out a little bit. And then you can create that triple threat shield dynamic where the new Golden Boy is Roman and Seth's jealous, and it's this whole thing where the three of them are all mad at each other. But it's just a thought.
See, I like it. I mean, they could even do a triple threat with those two against Hunter, even. It works. Yeah. My thought was, so let's just say that you do the switcheroo. They get Brock and Hunter again, which I really don't have a much of a problem with. That was a good match. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with Brock getting the title back. You have Roman and Dean do their thing. And he's like, well, who did the Wyatts face? I just put the Wyatts in a tag team match against Ryback and Big Show.
Yeah.
They've kind of been building those two against them. Just go with it.
Yeah, Ryback wants his moment.
Yeah.
Give it to him.
Because he's not going
to
get... I don't know. You want to talk about the Ryback thing really quick?
Yeah, he looks like someone, Josh.
Disco Inferno.
Disco Inferno. Well, he had sparklers.
Jamie Noble.
Brief smoke a lot.
I know it. Glacier.
He liked to hit himself a lot.
Heidenreich.
You're getting closer. But it didn't involve... I don't think Ryback has any affection for Michael Cole, so... that's definitely something WWE's kind of swept under the rug. Oh, God.
Yes, so he looks like Goldberg.
Yeah.
100%. It's stupid now. So, do we think it's going to happen?
Maybe.
Is this intentional?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe Ryback just forgot his gear and decided, well, I'm going to go with these little shorts.
I guess, because was Ryback on Raw? I can't remember. No. That was very forgettable.
Yes, it was very, very boring.
When was the last time you saw Ryback? Was he in the Royal Rumble?
Yep.
Okay, I don't remember seeing Ryback for a long time. It feels like it's been a while.
Yeah, it definitely has that feeling, but he was there.
Okay, was he on Raw, though? He wasn't on Raw, though.
No.
Okay, so I don't know. Maybe they're doing... They had him get a win? I wouldn't say a big win, but a win over Eric Rowan?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Were the Dudleys on Raw?
I don't remember. There's a lot of things that kind of...
Okay, go ahead, quick.
There are moments for Monday Night Raw that kind of... Like, I watched the whole show.
Yeah.
But it's like little black spots in my memory of...
Did you watch live?
Yeah.
So we should preface this just for the future, because I've had some people that are friends of ours that that listen to this, and they ask, like, what's the scenario? So Joe watches this live. I don't. I'm watching The Bachelor or NBA. And then I watch it on PVR later. And actually, I was watching the Iowa caucus for a while, too, on Monday.
That was entertaining.
That was way more entertaining than Raw was, I'll tell you that much.
Third-place
guy ended up being the first-place guy. That made zero sense. All of a sudden, Marco Rubio gets third place. But he really was the first place. I mean, it was like WWE booking at its finest there.
Maybe Vince McMahon's controlling who wins president.
Of course he is, because he's a freaking Republican. You know, if he controlled it, he'd get Trump. It's his buddy.
Oh, yeah. And then would they have National WWE Day?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
We must all watch WWE programming.
Maybe. I'll tell you one thing. I didn't want to make it too political. I had heard from a lot of my Republican friends that Marco Rubio was the right choice. That guy's speech was scary. Trump is stupid, but he sounds scary.
There's a few of them. Like not to get too political, but...
We're in it. Just dive, swim in that shit. We're in it.
I like my pro wrestling, And
we're Canadian, so it doesn't really matter.
I just kind of see the politics. I see both parties. I'm like, can I just watch Daniel Bryan?
Can we just get Bernie Sanders? Because he's great. He's like the greatest wrestling character ever.
You know,
he just is a hard knock old guy from Brooklyn that wants to kick everyone's ass. I freaking love Bernie Sanders.
They need the Daniel Bryan or someone in politics right now.
They need
now.
A Bernie Sanders in WWE.
That'd be entertaining.
Who could be Bernie Sanders? Flair?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Flair.
Oh, did you hear about they edited out his kiss to Becky Lynch?
I did.
Yeah, what do you think of that? We never really hit on it.
I missed it. You and Paul had pointed it out to me. I thought it was a little weird.
Yeah.
Was it improv then?
I don't know what it was.
I can't see Becky not agreeing to something like that.
Yeah.
Because if he did it, this is a strong word to throw out there. It's not rape, but he definitely forced herself on her then.
Yeah, and that was the biggest complaint. Was Flair forcing himself on her?
You know what's crazy, Joel? This is 20 years ago.
Yeah.
No one says anything.
Nope.
It's so stupid what the Attitude Era did.
Yeah.
And how unimportant women were.
Yeah. And now it's getting cut out of the Hulu replay. It's cut out of the WWE Network. It has become this big deal.
And rightfully so. Like you and I have watched some Attitude Era stuff recently, which makes me want to do another quick switch to Lucha Underground.
Ooh.
Men fight women.
Do they?
Yep.
Oh.
Champion faced a woman this week.
How was that?
Interesting.
It feels weird, doesn't it?
He does. I had my idea about Sasha Banks going for the Intercontinental title. I don't know if I like it anymore. It's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can get behind it. Like you and I talk about, we want them to be equals and treat them, and they are. It's still weird. I still don't like seeing a man beat up a woman.
Yeah. Even if it is pro wrestling, it's still that.
I mean, like a wrestler like Sexy Star, who faced Havoc, who is M-Dog 20, that some people may remember from Tough Enough a few years ago, not this year. Sexy Star held her own, had some great moves against M-Dog, against Havoc, rather, and I thought it was great. But it was just like when he gave her a backbreaker or when he tossed her to the ground, it's just like, this is not right.
Yeah, you're kind of like, you're going to get censored.
But I will say, Joel, the aesthetic of Lucha Underground is phenomenal.
I've heard that.
Really, they kind of have like, it's kind of a television show, really.
Yeah.
Because like the cutscenes are just, they had this cutscene with Dario, who's the owner, and Conan, and it was just like Dario's at this desk, and Conan's like this up and coming trainer with his guy Puma. It's just really well done, and there's a reason for everything to be put in place. It's a lot easier, I would say, for some people that don't watch wrestling to maybe jump into this more than WWE at some points, really.
Yeah, and it's broken down into seasons, so you can binge the first season.
And it's like what we wanted, right? We think WWE should have been like this.
Well, there's rumors, since we're kind of all over the place today.
Yeah, and then we got to get to the angry rant from Raw. We're bringing it in for the what made me super angry from Raw and SmackDown.
There's a rumor that WWE wants to do like a mini series where it's about guys that are under 230 and have like a G1 tournament to establish some new talents, and they're even talking about mixing in some indie stars, some of their own guys, and seeing who connects with the crowd, and then whoever connects with the crowd they kind of move forward with.
Yep, I'm all aboard in that one.
I think it'd be a lot of fun. They said that it would be a good showing ground for La Sombra.
Well, how many times are you, how excited were you and I for the tournament with for the title?
Yep,
it failed, but anytime you have a tournament of any kind, you get excited.
Yeah, because you can have these possibilities, and especially with it being guys that aren't on the main roster, and some of these developmental NXT guys, and you get some of these indie stars, and you kind of get to see what they all kind of do, especially with the Evolve deal. It makes this all possible.
It does. Is it time to get angry?
Hulk smash?
What in the hell are they doing to Kevin Owens?
They are slowly deflating him.
He lost to Dolph Ziggler clean, and then he lost to Kalisto.
Deflating.
What the hell is going on? Kalisto, I can kind of buy. It was a roll-up cheap pin. Sure, but the Dolph Ziggler one, after he kicked his ass for 10 minutes, and then he just hit a zigzag out of nowhere. I know what pro wrestling is, folks. This guy's supposed to be a prize fighter, and he's losing entirely too much. And it's this bullshit that Vince likes to do.
Vince likes to
bury you and then raise you, and I hate it. I hate it. It doesn't work.
No, it doesn't, because it just kind of you drive people to CM Punk level crazy.
It works if you're a Daniel Bryan, and it works if you're a Rey Mysterio. It's the underdog getting smashed over and over again, and you feel bad for them. I'm not going to feel bad for Kevin Owens, because he is a prize fighter, and he's supposed to kick asses.
Yep.
So it's backwards booking. Like, if this is Kalisto, you buy it. Kalisto's getting beat down, and beat down, and beat down. And finally, Kalisto raises above and gets the win, and gets another win, and he's rolling. I could buy that. But Kevin Owens, Joel? Just go on. I can't say anymore right now.
It's frustrating. I didn't expect it. I thought, oh, Owens will pick up a win over Ziggler because Ziggler's Vince's new punching bag.
He's the Barry Horowitz.
Yeah, but now I'm guessing Kevin Owens is the new Barry Horowitz for the time being. Don't know why, because Kevin Owens is really entertaining and a lot of fun.
He should be their top heel. They have no top real heel right now. Their top heel is Triple H. When Roman Reigns wins the title, who's the top heel going to be? We think it's going to be Ambrose. But who after that? Like, who after that is he going to face? He's going to face Ambrose for what? 2-3 pay-per-views?
Then
who's he going to face? Is he going to go right to Seth? Because that still leaves you 1 or 2 pay-per-views before SummerSlam.
Yep.
So, like, you can't keep on destroying these guys. Like, you're making Kevin Owens weaker and weaker. You and I just 2 weeks ago said he was Teflon, and he had been. Losses to Dean Ambrose weren't as bad because of what the feud was.
Yeah.
But there's nothing here, and you're just making him lose for no reason. If this was part of a feud, it would make some sense.
Yeah.
No, he gets screwed out of it, and I guess maybe it's the feud with Dolph Ziggler. But do you give 2 shits about seeing Dolph Ziggler versus Kevin Owens?
Not really.
No. Like, I've seen the match before. At first, it was like, great. I don't want to see that as it was just a fun little thing to Fastlane, and he kicks his ass. It means nothing to me. He shouldn't be losing this frequently. It should be a big deal when Kevin Owens loses. And I guess in a degree, we're talking about it. It is. But, like, you should be more shocked than this. Like, he should be like a Goldberg type of character. It's like, wow, they beat Kevin Owens. He normally kicks everyone's ass to a pulp. And that's what they did in NXT.
Yeah.
I feel like I see him on his back more. Than ever.
More on his back than Sonny?
That was good. That was good.
You gotta slip one in there.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, she'll be slipping a lot into her.
Oh, God, this is where this podcast...
We're not going to talk about the story, though. We're going to leave it alone. Yeah. Just have random Sonny puns all the time. Sonny side up.
I feel sorry for Kevin Owens. And you and me both know, like, when you see Kevin Owens, you're like, he has it. He has it. He's special. He is a guy that you and me were talking about the show that's here on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, well, if Kevin Owens is there, then I'd be tempted to go because it's Kevin Owens. And he's one of those guys you're like, I just need to see him wrestle live all the time because he's so much fun and he's so entertaining. There's a video of him beating up Dean Ambrose and talking to a little kid. And he goes to give the little kid a high five and the little kid shoots his arm out, ready to give Kevin Owens a high five. And Owens moves his arm and walks away and starts beating on Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, it's such backwards booking.
Yep.
And they've kind of done the same thing with AJ in a way. AJ's winning, and it's great, but he hasn't made it before, Joel. He hasn't made it until he makes it here. and they keep on hitting you over the head, and it's starting to devalue his credits. Even Mauro Ranallo is kind of being force-fed to say this nonsense.
Yeah.
And it's just like, every time I hear it, it's like, he's not important. He hasn't made it here. It's like, well, like, shit. I know he's made it because he's been champion around the world. Talk about he's done it. You can say, like, he hasn't done it here, but like, he's done it everywhere, and now he's going to do it here.
Yeah, or he's going to at least try to do it here. Let's see if he can prove it here. He's done it everywhere else, but can he do it in WWE?
And apparently he's a pit bull, because The Miz called him a pit bull, and Jericho called him a pit bull. So is he going from phenomenal to AJ Styles, the pit bull?
I don't know. He was really aggressive in the attack on Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think they've done a fine job. There's going to be Jericho, him too, next SmackDown. I like that idea that I think maybe they face each other at Fastlane, I'm thinking.
I think this is going to build up where there's going to be a screwy finish where Jericho snaps and starts beating him with a chair or something.
Yeah, I think this is Jericho's heel turn before he faces... I still think he's going to face Ambrose.
Yeah, I think that's the next thing, but the Fastlane will be... And then Styles will go on to face Mr.
Owen? Jobber, yeah.
Yay!
It'll be a great match. It's just, if you're going to have AJ maybe go undefeated facing Kevin Owens, wouldn't you really want Kevin Owens to be undefeated facing Kevin Owens? No.
Maybe, but I don't know, like I said, we have to be in being Vincent Kennedy McMahon to understand what's going on.
Well, I'm not going to fuck anyone good. Brock, you're going to look like a bitch. Kevin, you're going to lose to Dolph. And AJ, you're a pit bull, because I listened to that song with him and Neil last night. It's just phenomenal. Take me on tonight. It's great. You're a pit bull. Yeah.
What does Vince tell Roman?
Roman, you're doing fine. Your sales are through the goddamn roof, pal.
Give me a hug.
Come here, pal. Give me a hug.
I'd love to sit down and go, Vince, why are you doing this?
Fuck you, that's why.
Do you think he's, like, when Vince is booking, do you think he goes back on the WWE Network and checks out his old Attitude Era stuff?
No, I don't think so.
And I just don't know, like, the booking for Raw was... 3 hours is too long. We've said that enough here.
My favorite thing is just, Vince is kind of like a child, the way that some of the writers explain him. When he finds something for the first time, he's just like open to this new world. It's like when he went to SNL, he's like, he went to Hunter and Big Show, he's like, Paul, who is this band? Vince, it's AC/DC. They are phenomenal. We're going to use them. They're great. Are they new? He asked him if AC/DC was new. This is in 1999, so they're still pretty old.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just funny whenever he hears something. Like, apparently one day he's like, I watched this show. I think it was, like, Mad Men or Sons of Anarchy. And the show would end. He's like, it was terrific. Have you heard of it? Yep. Vince, it's been on the air for 7 years. Wow, it was great.
I'm still desperately clinging on to we'll get like a Walter White like character in wrestling.
Oh God, don't show him Breaking Bad.
That's AJ.
There was an episode with a fly, and we're gonna put a fly in the ring, and it's gonna buzz around Kevin Owens and pin him.
Oh, this podcast has gone off the rails. Just
it always does at the end.
Oh yeah.
Like, go ahead.
This has really been a flat, somber week.
Yeah, it. I mean, I will say, I am actually thankful for this pod. After the last few weeks, it's just been tight knit news.
Yeah,
and this week's just kind of like, well, the worst thing that happened is Kevin Owens got pinned by Dolph Ziggler.
Shinsuke Nakamura. We can talk about him a little bit.
We talked a lot about him last week. I don't know how much more we got out of him.
Well, he's come. The feeling is he's going to be this, like you said, that it's NXT's a pit stop. There's no guarantees he's going to be called Shinsuke Nakamura on the main roster, though.
Yeah, I have heard that.
And there's rumors that they had bought the rights for his music.
I got the name for him. Tokyo Joe.
He's going to be Tokyo. I swear to God, Josh.
God, I put an idea into his head, didn't I?
Vince secretly listens to all the wrestling podcasts out there.
You know what Lillian? You know how Lillian would call him?
Yeah.
Come to the ring, Grammy nominated, Tokyo Joe, because she said the Usos were Grammy nominated.
Not great, Bob.
No, Tokyo Joe. I can't wait. But eventually we have a Samoa Joe. Fuck. He's Samoa Tom then.
I hope Samoa Joe gets to keep his name when he comes up to the main roster.
I think he does because he already sold merch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's on the video game and everything. It'd be too confusing now.
Yeah. I mean, AJ got to keep his name, which is...
He did. They have the rights to it, I believe, now.
Nope. He still owns the rights, but they own the rights to what he does in WWE. So the right. footage and everything. So.
I think that's the same with Joe.
Yeah.
Interesting.
What was it?
Is there anything else from Raw at all before we get into rumors?
Nothing really. I did want to hit on the SmackDown match, AJ versus The Miz.
Sure, like, it was fine. It was good.
And I think Miz deserves credit. Miz is a good heel. Miz is saying all the right things. He's talking. He goes onto YouTube and finds out everyone's fear on AJ Styles and then voices it out and says a statement.
Miz will never be WWE champion ever again.
No.
But I think sometimes we forget he was a really good heel. You really hated The Miz.
Yeah.
You know, that run that he had was really good. I think, you know, he comes back every once in a while. He knows exactly what he is. I love the line today in the promo when he's like talking about how Santa's Little Helper wasn't nominated for an Oscar. Because he knows people are going to be like, what? That's so stupid.
Yeah.
But he knows what he's doing. Like, he knows his character. He figures his character out. He changes the time. And you can say what you want to say about Damian Sandow. I think we now learn that The Miz was a big component of that.
Miz was a huge part of that. Like, and Miz deserves credit in the world. Like, I enjoyed his little thing with AJ, not letting AJ speak, but AJ used his fist to speak.
Yep.
And AJ uses the calf killer.
Yep. And Mauro did a good job with that, because if that was Michael Cole, Joel, I swear to God. He's hurting something around his ankle area, and he made him submit. I don't know what that is. You know, Michael, it's a ding-dong of a submission, Michael.
And you can't do Brian Saxton?
I'm Brian Saxton, everyone. Hey.
Oh, boy. But Mauro is like, that's the calf killer.
I love how Jerry Lawler's like, how do you know what that is? And he's like, well, Jerry, I did call mixed martial arts. I'm like, thank God you just put it right out there, Mauro. Yeah. Not gonna pussyfoot around it. I've called mixed martial arts. I've called boxing. I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Mauro Ranallo, MVP of the week once again. Well, not mine.
I do enjoy yours, but Mauro is mine for sure.
R-Truth, he's scared of cats. It was the best. We'll get the Total Divas report in a bit, though.
R-Truth, Golden Truth needs to happen.
It does. See it. Amber Rose tweeted about it.
It's gaining steam.
You know Amber Rose with around the toilet and the booty. She knows her stuff, apparently.
Yeah. What was I gonna say? So did Big E bite Dean Ambrose?
I didn't see that.
Apparently there was biting involved in their match, and I gotta give the New Day praise. Like, I loved how they're like, The Rock is not appropriate for children. And then you see what the New Day does, and you're like, you're not either, but...
No. I think that intro... Is there any intro right now that you hear and you just get so excited? When you just hear, oh, Charlotte, North Carolina! Don't you dare! Be a sour! As soon as you hear that, you just get so excited.
Because you know there's some sort of shenanigans.
About yeah, like that. When he did it, when they came up during The Rock, I was so pumped up. When I was like, ah, Rocky! It gets you so pumped up. You don't really, it's kind of what the New Age Outlaws had for a bit there.
Yeah. It's like, oh, here's the New Day. What's going to happen?
And Joe, that gets me very excited when Big Cass and Enzo come up.
Oh, the two of them, the promos they can share. And you've seen that Enzo and Big Cass can go serious.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see the New Day go dark.
Yeah, I really liked Enzo's promo last week.
Very good. He's very good on the mic.
He just had that gangster kind of, I'm going to kick you in the mouth kind of feel.
Yeah, and you want that, especially from a guy that is a little bit smaller, but if he's all talk,
yeah,
a lot of talk, but he can back it up in the ring too at times.
Yep.
So,
So I think we got Raw and SmackDown pretty much covered.
NXT was meh.
It was meh. Del Rio did wrestle. You know, he had been hurt. Sheamus is hurt.
Suplex City.
But Del Rio wrestled. His back is meh. Barrett was in the show. So he's still going to shows. Yay. Don't know when he'll be able to wrestle again. So do you want to get to news or Total Divas report first?
Well, we've kind of hit on a lot of the news throughout the pod. So let's go Total Divas.
Yeah. All right. Mm. So we got the introduction to Mandy.
Yep.
5-year deal.
Wow.
Kind of integrated her into the roster. And at first her and Eva Marie just to kind of, we're kind of like, oh, we're going to be friends. And Foxy and some of the other divas said, maybe you don't want to be with Eva because she starts a bunch of drama. And it, you know what? I will say after the first episode with Mandy, I like her because I think she realizes that she's not there just to be a pretty face. And she really, really wants to be a wrestler. She's very serious about it. You can follow her on the Snapchats and Instagram. She knows she's not great and she wants to work on it. And she's really dedicated to being a wrestler, not a model.
That's good.
Like I will say, like, you follow Eva. I don't want to slam Eva because everyone does it. I think Eva's very good at her role in NXT at being a heel. So I want to preface that first. But you watch her on Snapchat, on Instagram, and one of the biggest things the Divas locker room being up on Total Divas is she doesn't care about the product as much as everybody else should.
Yeah.
She's not just a WWE diva. She's a model and a spokesperson for other companies, and that's great. But everyone feels she should pay more attention to the WWE, and I have to agree.
Yeah.
So there was that storyline. They focused on Tyson. Natty felt like he was depressed because all he was doing back is watching his matches with him and Cesaro. And he was just like, oh, this was a great match, and this is a great match. So Natty throws him a party.
Was Cesaro there?
Oh, yeah. First guy to show up. But one of the things was Truth, are you ready?
Yeah.
Truth is scared of cats because a gang of cats attacked him when he was younger. And so Kofi comes over with his wife and his kids. So you get to see Kofi's wife and kid.
Wow.
Kofi's kid sneaks into the room where Natty had been holding all the cats. And the cat got out and R-Truth could not jump onto the, like, where you have all the food and everything like that, yeah, to the island fast enough. He was so scared.
Oh, I'm laughing, but if you...
And then the boys, Truth and Cesaro, had a little gossip session with TJ and kind of told him that Natty said he was depressed, and then he confronted Natty about it. Finally, Truth came to him, and Natty had a really good talk to Natty about it. Truth was very deep in insight, and it made me realize like how wise Truth is. And you realize how old he is, too.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, you know, like, we really... You and I talked about it last week. I was like, man, I really underestimated how, number one, entertaining Truth is, but number one, the wisdom that this guy has.
He gets his gimmick. Mm-hmm. We got a little Jimmy reference.
Oh, yeah, we did. And then Natty and TJ made up. So, yeah, you know, and with the Bellas, what do the Bellas do? So Cena had a dinner with Nikki, and they talked about the marriage and the babies thing. Cena says he would now marry Nikki Bella.
That guy flip-flops a lot.
But still will not have kids.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes zero sense to me. You would think that Cena would love to have kids.
Maybe there's something, personal preference, I don't know.
I guess, but if you're going to get married, you have to, it's a package, in my opinion. Maybe I'm old school. But I just think if you're going to get married to someone, what's the point of getting married to them, even if you love them, if there's no babies to be part of it?
Yeah. I don't know. The Cena and Nikki thing is just very, like, just back away slowly. I'm not getting involved.
And then as for Nikki, you know, I've been following her on Instagram. It's very sad. You can tell that she really misses it.
Yeah.
Having the neck brace on for her, it sucks. It's nice to have Snapchat, I think, for these athletes when they're down and out, because they can connect through their fans in an immediate way and feel still that kind of entertainment vibe that they have.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you, and it's a good thing to have.
So, yeah, that was week two, Total Divas. Apparently the ratings fell a little bit. WWE, from what I'm hearing, is happy with the show, and I don't see it going anywhere fast.
And, I mean, you get the Kid and Cesaro bromance, so...
Oh, my God, it's the best part. He's like, Jim Hardy's like, look who's here, your boyfriend's here. He's like, yeah, he didn't get mad about it. TJ's like, yes. Just, TJ's like, and by the way, interesting note too, they never called him Cesaro, they called him Claudio.
Wow.
I was a little surprised by that. But yeah, just having Cesaro on there with TJ, aside from having Brian on there, best part of the show.
See, you get to see some of these guys and you go, hey, you do have personality.
Yeah, it was cool to see Kofi be a dad.
Oh, yeah.
And this is why I love Total Divas. I did find one thing I did not like about Total Divas, though. Guess who one of the producers is?
Who?
Kevin Dunn.
Oh, boy.
So he can make kind of okay TV. We know that. He is possible of it. He's possible to make decent, riveting television. So what happened to Raw?
It's 3 hours.
And why can't you get this like stuff out of Brie? Which we'll go back to Raw really quick. Brie Bella beat Charlotte. Brie mode!
Oh, God.
So I guess that's the feud for Fastlane?
Yep, and that's what I was going to close out the podcast with, was Sasha's going to feud with Team Bad for a little bit to Fastlane.
Yep.
And Charlotte's going to feud with Brie, then they'll be both wrapped up, and then we've got...
Triple Threat Mania?
I'm hearing singles match.
So what does Becky do then?
Sit in the back and clap.
Gross. Don't like that.
So, we'll wait and see.
I think my night after WrestleMania is going to happen though, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think Asuka's going to win the title in Dallas. And then that frees up Bayley the night after.
Yay!
Anything else?
That's it.
That's it, that's all?
We are tied up in a nice little bow with Vince McMahon impressions littered throughout the podcast.
Yeah! Yeah, you know, a boring week as far as news rumor-wise go. And again, the unfortunate news about Brett and Blackjack. Hopefully both can pull through. We have more of a positive spin of them next week. And like we said, it's Seattle. I'm sorry, people. Do not get your hopes up for Daniel Bryan. I've seen a lot of stuff online in Seattle. Bryan does not live in Seattle. He lives in Phoenix.
Over under that Vince McMahon has a little midget of Daniel Bryan come out.
No.
No?
No. Not at all.
Okay.
I mean, my question will be is, really quickly here. So, if the Broncos win, do we see a WWE title belt? Or if Carolina wins, do we see a WWE title belt?
Carolina gets a title belt.
Yeah, because Cam will wear one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I would think so. And you and I were talking about, like, how long till WWE superstar dabs?
Ugh.
And the answer to that is, there's nobody because the roster is way too frickin' white.
That's true.
Like,
Vince will be the first one to do
it. Oh, yeah, watch me dab! Yeah! Come on, Hunter, you dab too.
Oh, no.
They will be not too far in San Jose the day before Super Bowl in San Jose in an absolute stacked show. Brock Lesnar, AJ Styles, Kevin Owens. It's a pretty stacked house show.
No, oh yeah.
I really wish they'd have a commercial during Super Bowl. You ever see the commercial they had during Super Bowl?
No.
It was really good. Look it up afterwards. Or put it on, if you can, take the audio from that and put it at the end of the podcast.
Okay.
We will see. It'll be a football-free time now for WWE after this. No Super Bowl. Nothing after this for them to worry about. They don't have to worry about ratings until NBA, NHL playoffs.
Yep.
As far as sports competition. Because they don't really go get... Well, they'll have to worry maybe WrestleMania. Don't know what the March Madness schedule is, but... Yeah. Just SmackDown has to go against March Madness.
Yeah, it's SmackDown.
Yeah, so I don't think they're going to care as much about that. But as far as Monday nights, no major sports unless, like, you know, a big Cavs or Spurs game. And fortunately for the NHL, it's not really a big concern for them.
No.
And that's about it, folks.
Yeah.
So make sure you follow Stick Boy, Stick Boy YYC on Twitter. Make sure you follow Joel Johnson at Joel Johnson TV on Twitter. Make sure you follow Stick Boy on Facebook at
Stick Boy Productions,
which is gaining followers. So get those followers up. You can follow me at Fresh Take 42, Jawa 31, Fresh Take Network for the Facebook. Follow us on Instagram at Fresh Take 42. And from these some guys up there, follow me on Snapchat as we have updates throughout the week. If any breaking news happens, the best place you can find it now is Snapchat. We will have updates on there. That's Jawa31 as well. And if you have any concerns, you can... Do you have an email for Stickboy yet, Joel?
No.
So if you have any major concerns, you can hit us up on those social medias. And if you want to be a little personal, you can also send some Stickboy emails to myself, Jawa31@gmail.com, or FreshTake42@gmail.com. If you have a concern about anything or any suggestions for the podcast, we're always open to suggestions.
We can get in some trouble, watch some old pay-per-views.
Soon, very soon. That's what we call a tease.
Me.
All right, so until next time, cheers!
I can't wait to see Braun Strowman battle The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Rumor debunked.
Darn, I'm so disappointed.
Yeah. Double confirmed, rumor debunked. Enjoy the day, people.
Thanks, everyone, for checking out the Stick Boy podcast. This podcast was a lot of fun, kind of went off the rails a little bit, but we enjoyed ourselves, and that's what matters. So make sure you stay tuned and check out all the podcasts we do on Stick Boy.